little silence and let that soak in a little bit. When you think about the message that Carol shared with us this morning. Good morning. Happy New Year. Good to see you. How many of you ladies experience traveling with your husband? And time again, he gets and he thinks he knows where he's going, but he doesn't know where he's going. And you have asked him, why don't you stop and ask somebody how to find whatever? Get directions. Anybody had that problem? Ladies? Several of you. Thank you. Thank you, Marilyn. Appreciate that. You know, the saying is, and there is a joke that goes along that, why Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years is because Moses refused to stop and ask for direction, to find the way, as it might be. The ways of God. There is the ways of God. And I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There is no other way but this. I shall never get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know, as I onward go, the way of the cross leads home. God's ways, and your ways, and my ways. David said in Psalm 25 and 4, make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path. You see, there is a difference between the acts of God and the ways of God. If you were listening to Hebrews chapter 3, you heard Don read this morning and you're listening. Israel saw the acts of God. They saw them over and over again. They saw the plagues, the lice. They saw all of that. They saw the dividing of the Red Sea. They saw the manna, the quail, the rock of Rephidim. They saw that, but God said they did not know my ways. They saw the acts of God, but they didn't know the ways of God. They're different. They're different. They're very much different. Psalms 103:7. David again states, 103, verse 7 of Psalm, he made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the nation of Israel. Do you know the ways of God? Have you come to know God's ways, the ways of God? Because God's ways are only seen in his and understanding his purpose. Understanding his purpose. All things work together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Those purposes seen in His reasons for why He does what He does. Understanding the reasons of God. Understanding the principles that are laid out very clearly in the Word of God. And you and I bring in our will into harmony with the ways those principles teach. The principles of God that cause Him these principles. These elements, this element is why God acts the way He does. Okay? Why does God act the way He does? Well, because He has a plan, a purpose, and a why behind everything He does. And you and I need to know the ways of God. Let's look at 103, Psalms again, 103, beginning at verse 8, if you will, this morning. Turn there in the Word of God, and let's look at why God acts the way He does. Did you hear what I said? Let's see why God acts the way He does. We're not talking about God's ways, we're talking about why does God act the way He does. Okay? Psalms 103, beginning at verse 8, what does it say? The Lord is... Participation time. The Lord is compassionate. He is gracious, slow to anger. He abounds in loving kindness. He doesn't always strive with us, nor does He keep His anger forever. He doesn't deal with us according to our... Thank God. Thank God he doesn't deal with us for what we deserve. He doesn't deal with us according to our sin. That means he's going to, and his ways are going to be different. His ways are going to be different. Because if he did accordingly to what we deserve him to do, his acts would be different. That makes sense. But he doesn't deal with us according to our sin, nor does he reward us according to our iniquities. He doesn't reward us according to our sins. A lot of people think what's going on in our country today is that God is punishing us because of all the wickedness that's going on in our nation. God does not, and his ways aren't that way. He doesn't deal with us according to our iniquities. Okay? Isn't that what it says? He doesn't reward in according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward them who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions or our sins from us. Just as the Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. That's all we are. Bunch of dust. Like the little boy coming home from Sunday school, what did you learn today? Well, he said we learned that God created Adam out of the dust of the ground. Is that true? Yeah, that's true. Well, when we die, do we go back to the dust of the ground? Well, yeah, that's what the Bible says. Well, Mommy, somebody's coming and going under my bed. So it is. We need to ask this question. Lord, have you prayed, God, Lord in heaven, let me know your ways. Let me understand your ways. May I, what? Why do I want to understand the ways? If you were with me last week, it's so I can know you. See, Israel didn't know God because all they were focusing on was his acts. All they saw was the acts of God, and they didn't ever come to know him and know his ways because that's all they focused on. How many of us are of the same mindset? What was Moses saying when he said, let me know your ways so that I might find favor in your sight? What was he saying? Says, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to know your thoughts. I want to know your will and your purpose, your attitude, your motivation. All of that which is involved in knowing somebody. Moses wanted to know this God who he saw act. He saw him open the Red Sea. He saw him bring all the plagues. He saw the smoke upon the mountains and lightning, the thunder, and the finger writing the Ten Commandments. He saw all the acts of God, but that isn't what he wanted. He didn't want to see God's act. He wanted to know God's ways so he could know God. It's a big difference, isn't it? I mean, Marilyn has seen me act. But Marilyn wants to know me, right? How's she going to know me? How she knows my thoughts, my attitudes, my principles, and who I am? Because she can only know them by my consistent way of acting. Right? Getting to know you. Getting to know all about you. Oh, dear. So, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, this is God speaking, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. You understand what he just said? Nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. And as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your ways. My ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts more than your thoughts. Yes, God's ways are not man's way. God's thoughts are not the way youth would think as a natural mind. Stay with me in that principle, okay? Proverbs 14:12. I've used this and I've said it and quoted it over and over again. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. How many people are dead today because they thought they were going the right way? But yet in God's Word, it taught very clearly, don't go that way. Don't go that way. Why? Because whatever you sow, you're going to reap. You sow to the flesh, you reap corruption and death. Don't do it. Don't go that way. Don't go that way. How many times does he warn us? Don't go that way, because the end thereof is destruction, corruption, and death. He warns us. Why? Because he loves us. How many parents have warned their children over and over again? Don't go that way. Don't do that. Don't think like that. Change your attitude. You can't have that attitude and get a... Don't do that. How many times have you said that to your children? Why? Because you love them, right? Well, how much more compassion and love and kindness does God have for his creation, for you and me, that was made in his image? Why would he not warn us? Don't go that way. Don't go that way. It may seem right now, but I want you to know, if you go and continue to go that way, the end thereof is destruction, corruption, and death. That's why he warns us that way. In Matthew 7:13-14, remember the Sermon on the Mount? Jesus poured out his heart as it was on that day. You know what it says? It says, enter through the narrow gate. Why? For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter that. Get it? The way to destruction and corruption is wide, and many, 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 many people walk therein and the end of it. But, he says, for the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few to find it. You know how many people left and crossed over Jordan or the Red Sea? Over 2 million people crossed over the Red Sea. You know how many of those original 2 million actually crossed through the narrow way of the dividing of the Jordan River into the Promised Land? Some say 2, some say 3. But in compared to 2 million, that's very few. So who were all the thousands that crossed over into Jordan? They were all people, children that had been born in the wilderness in that 40 years. That means they were all 40 years of age and younger. You ever thought about that? What an illustration of how broad it is, and the way seems right to a lot of people, but the end thereof, many a brief walk is death. You think God wants you to know his way? You think God really wants you to know his way? You think he wants you to know his mind, his purpose, his principles, and all the other acts and the aspects of it? What do you think Jesus meant when he said, I am the way? Jesus didn't say, I am a way, some way. The article the means exactly what it says. He is the only way. I am the way. I am the way. He said that very clearly. And God's thoughts, if they are far superior to man's thought, that's why as a text that we read this morning, it makes it very plain. God is able, you see, how is it that you and I could even hope that we could develop and that we could enter into a higher plane of thinking? How can we do that? Only if God allows us to do that. And if God indeed interacts and causes that to happen, that we could actually become not fleshly, carnal-minded, we could actually have the mind of Christ, that our minds can be transformed, change, and the mind of Christ can be in us. We can think the way he thought, and that will then determine our acts, that we then behave and act like he did. Get it? Get it? And so God's principle, God's ways, is that he today is at work in your life and in my life, that you and I would develop and come to know his ways by coming to know the way, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Bible says in Philippians 2:5, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed, pressured, squeezed into the mold of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove the way of God, the will of God, as what it is. You can prove it, substantiate it, that which is good and acceptable and perfect, way of God. How? By the transforming of our minds. Wow. I'm telling you, people, it's exciting to be able to know that there is a God in heaven that loves me, that wants me to know His ways. And that if I submit myself to His Word and to His Spirit and to His love and to His Son, He will transform my mind. The word there, transformed, is the same Greek word that is used when Jesus went up into the mountain and the transfiguration turned and He appeared in His glorified state. That means that God will transform my mind into a glorified state of thinking and processing. That I'll see things the way God sees things. I'll see people the way God sees people. I will act as God would be acting, and my life would become Christ-like. In its very center, I would become as Jesus was over 2,000 years ago. Even though I didn't know Him, didn't walk with Him, didn't hunt with Him, didn't fish with Him, or whatever else we do that builds relationships on the fleshly level, we have the mind of Christ right here. We have it. God gave it to us. And the Spirit of the living God can take that mind, those thoughts, those principles, and the aspects of God's ways in this book and transform and transfer it to my mind and transform it so that I will become and have the mind of Christ. Isn't that exciting? I said, isn't that exciting? I mean, think about it. You know? Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, what does it say? Colossians 3, 1 and 2, what does it say? If you have been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Are you listening? Read it there. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are of the earth. Why do so many people have struggles and battles within themselves and fear and worry and fret and constantly cannot deal with life as it comes because they're focusing on God's acts and how God answers their prayer and what God will give them, but they do not know God's way. And if that's all you're focusing on is how God is going to act in your life, that God's going to hear your prayer, that God is going to deliver you, do this and do that. He delivered Israel, but they all fell in the wilderness. Why? Because of their unbelief. Look what they saw. Look at all they saw. Look at all the acts of God that He demonstrated before them. And yet, as Don read this morning, Hebrews 2, they did not know my ways. Didn't know it. Didn't know it. So why would I benefit by knowing the way of God? What would be my benefit from doing that? Well, one thing, I guess, more than anything else, as the aspects of it, as it's read there in Corinthians, is that basically, I believe, that we would begin to develop a relationship, a personal relationship with God. You see, it's one thing to know that there is a God. But there is one other thing to know. To know God. There's two Greek words for know in the Bible. One is to have a knowledge of His acts and what He is and all the aspects of it. To know He is kind and forgiving and that He is compassionate and He's a loving Father and to know all of that. But the difference between knowing that and then experiencing it personally in your individual life. Right? Right? See, took me and Marilyn quite a long time to get to know Him. Now it's scary. I'm serious. Because her thoughts are my thoughts now. I'll be thinking about something, and Marilyn will say, hey, you know what? What? And she'll say something, and that's what I was just thinking about. Anybody experience that? Yeah, you see, you can spend, and you get to know somebody well enough, and you get to know them intimately well enough, their thoughts become your thoughts, and their ways become your ways. And it's amazing how the two begin to walk together. What's scary is when you hear somebody that's lived 50, 60, 70 years together, they sound alike. I'm serious. The voices somehow take on the tone and the accent of the other person. You ever notice that? Well, I have. But what I'm saying is, you see, you can't get to know somebody if you don't spend time with them. And most of us, our only time we spend with God is when we're asking Him to act in our personal lives. And we all connect ourselves to His acts, but not His ways. And God's ways aren't your ways. See, God may not act the way you want Him to because He knows that's not what you need right now in your personal life. You ever thought about it? But God's ways are always the better way, right? Isn't that where faith comes in? Huh? You know how long it would have taken Israel to go from the crossing of the Red Sea to the Jordan River to cross? You know how long it would have taken them, literally, if they just would have not wandered? Now, you know what caused them to wander. Remember, God guided them? Fire by night, cloud by day, right? Why did He do that? What was the way that God was directing them through the wilderness? I mean, these people were wandering all over the place because of their unbelief. You find yourself wandering? Waving? Unstable? Well, why don't you spend time on your knees asking God to show you His way? But then just asking for Him to act in your personal life. Because maybe the way He's acting is determined by the fact that you really don't know Him. And you really don't know His ways. 2016 is a time for you to walk spiritually and develop. Not after the natural mind can't even begin to comprehend the things of God. It's impossible for them. In fact, most people that are of natural mind, the fleshly mind, think that what this book said is what? Foolishness. Isn't that what He said? But to you and me who are spiritually minded, who are seeking the mind of Christ, our minds can be transformed, can't they? Can't they? And we can become changed in the inner man. A new creature in Christ. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. You know that? And God is at work in you to accomplish His will and His purpose. You need to have the faith that God and whatever God is doing in your personal life and demonstrating His acts, He wants to know you to know His ways. And in His ways, He wants you to come to see Him and to know Him as your personal, loving, compassionate, kind, forgiving Father. That's what He wants. The Bible says that our spirit fellowships with His spirit, and whereby we cry unto Him, Abba, Daddy. Father. And so I want to have a relationship with God. How about you? I want to know Him. Getting to know you. Getting to know all about you. How about developing a divine viewpoint? Some of us can only see the point of our nose. You know that? You know why your nostrils are fighting all the time? Nobody knows why your nostrils fight all the time. They don't know whether to drop the matter or go to blows. You say, I can apply that, William. Good question. Okay? Because a lot of people are all nothing more than a bunch of wind. They blow a lot, but they are not really growing in a personal relationship. And the best thing you could do for yourself right now as a Christian is drop the matter. Drop it. You walk by faith, not by sight. Stop looking at what's coming upon you and turn your eyes upon Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. He's the way. Get your focus on Him. Get your focus off on your problems and your difficulties and all the things that are going on in life. And look at what God's promised you. The way of the cross leads home. And the cross was suffering, wasn't it? Jesus learned obedience through suffering, right? And maybe God is trying to teach you obedience. You ever thought about it? Making sure and wanting you that you could get your life in the right way, following the right way, that's going to lead you to eternal life. And He knows you're not going the right way, and so He disciplines you. Disciplines you, trying His best to get you to straighten up. Ever thought about it that way? Divine purpose. In Ephesians 1:18, Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, Ephesians 1:18, so that you may know, you may know the hope of His calling, the riches of His glory in the inheritance in the saints, the greatness of His surpassing power toward us who believe. There isn't a thing you have to face in life that God hasn't already known you're going to face. He's already 40 miles ahead of you, and He's going to take care of it if you just believe. I'm serious. We're living in a world permeated by fatalism. The philosophy of Satan is to get you to be a fatalist. That no matter, even when you experience good, you're going to find something bad. No matter what it is, I'm serious. The element of it is you don't know God's ways. You don't know God's ways. This is a good year for you and me to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He might exalt us, that we might know His ways. Because you'll never get to know Him personally until you know His ways. You can see all the acts of God you want to see. And the Bible says, Jesus said, even if someone was raised from the dead and comes back from the dead, they said, He said, what did He say? They would not what? So if you're looking for some miracle, you're looking for some mighty sign to occur, let me tell you something. Jesus warned us all. An evil, an adulterous generation desires a sign. And if you got to have more of God's acts before you're going to believe, He's not going to do it. He won't. That's not His purpose. If all He wanted to do was put on a show and let everybody see His show, He could have done that before the angels. If all He wanted was an audience, He didn't need you and me. You understand that? He didn't have to have you and me to see all of His acts. He had all the angels of heaven to see His acts, didn't He? He didn't want an audience. He didn't want you to just see His acts. He wanted you to know Him. That's what He wanted. And therein is where you and I, in getting to know God, that's where we develop patience. Doesn't the Bible say, wait upon the Lord? Doesn't that what it said? Wait upon the Lord and you will mount up with what? Wings like an eagle, and you will do what? You will soar. You will soar. I mean, do you believe that or not? You really believe in the God this Bible reveals, or don't you believe in the God that this Bible... How about your steadfastness? How many times do you find yourself wavering? You suppose that's why the Hebrew writer in chapter 10 says, do not waver in your faith, for He who promised is what? What? Faithful. Remember I preached here not too long ago? You and I start every day in His loving kindness. And we end every day by thanking Him for His faithfulness. How many of you are doing that? How many of you get up every morning knowing that you're going to experience the loving kindness of God today? He's going to be, and you're going to see it, it's going to be demonstrated. And when you go to bed at night and lay your head on the pillow, you can praise Him and thank you, Father in heaven, for your being faithful. Amazing, isn't it? When you and I think about it, patience, steadfastness, endurance, I believe it also develops a commitment. How many of you, I mean, honest, within your own hearts, answer this question. Don't raise your hand. But how many of you really are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know what the kingdom of God is? It's the church. It's the body of Christ over which he died. Remember, Jesus said to Peter, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom, that the gates of hell won't prevail against my church. And I'll give you the keys, Peter, to open the door of the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven was opened on Pentecost. 3,000 people gladly received the word and were immersed. And God's kingdom began on Pentecost. You understand that? And ever since then, God has been transferring people out of the kingdom, out of the domain of darkness, and has been transferring them over into the kingdom of his dear Son. And that is what you are to be seeking. Not what the world can give you. Not what this world offers you. Not what you can win by doing this or that. But what God is going to do, if you seek him, he will reward you. Remember? I misquoted myself last Lord's Day in case you didn't catch it. Okay? I said, Hebrew writer said, no. Paul said it in the book of Acts chapter 17 when he said that this God that you have this unknown statue to. Now the Hebrew writer did say without faith it's impossible to please God, but that they that seek him will find him, and he is a rewarder. Do you know that's in the continuous present tense of the Greek? That means the seeking is an ongoing process. It is not something that you say or know. You know, I don't know Marilyn all yet. I'm sure there's things she's hiding from me. But I want to know her. I want to get to know her more and more and more. Because the more I get to know her, the more I love her. The more I see who she is and what the beauty that God has placed in her. Tragic thing is people live together and never really get to know one another. Isn't that tragic? Getting to know you. Getting to know all about you. Somebody wrote that, didn't they, Doug? I don't remember who it was, but there was a song out there like that. And I put it in my notes because I remember, I know there was a song out there that said that, okay? So I'm going to close. Psalms 119. Beginning at verse 1, Psalms 119, verse 1 and down through verse 8. Psalms 119, beginning at verse 1. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their hearts. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in his ways. You have ordained your precepts, talking about God, that we should keep them diligently, or that my ways may be established to keep your statutes or your laws or your commandment. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all your commandments. I shall give thanks to you with an uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgment, I shall keep your laws or your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. If you really want to know God, then get to know his ways. Get to know his principles, his laws, his commandments, and why. Why? There's no commandment of God that is grievous, a burden for you to carry. Every law of God was given to set you free. And to give you wings to soar and to fly. I think it was Jesus who said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Isn't that what he said? Yeah. So all the way my Savior leads me, what shall I ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy who through life has been my guide? All the way the Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit clothed immortal wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me in beside the still waters. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His namesake. Yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God's plan, God's way is eternal, not temporary. God's plan is that the way of the cross will lead you home. And Jesus came to be our shepherd, our chief shepherd, to guide and direct us to where He is. Get your mind set on things above. Stop focusing on the world and things that you can see. Because what you can see is temporary. It's all going to pass away. It's meaningless. It cannot and will not fulfill your deepest need. Your deepest need is to have a personal, knowing relationship with God, the Creator, and to walk in His ways. Amen? Let's grow. Let's walk. Let's be what God wants us to be. 2016 gives us all another opportunity. I have no idea when Jesus is coming, but I know someday He's coming to take us home. Amen? I trust you're ready to go home. Not that way. I hope you're not waiting for me to get done. God bless you all. I just really want to, from the bottom of my heart, say thank you for all the money and the gifts of love you gave Mel and I. The cards. The restaurant. I mean, we got Cracker Barrel, Applebee's, Red Robin, PJ Chang. Who else have we got? Mel and I won't spend a lot of money for a long time, but we will eat well because of you folks, and we thank you for all of your love and expressions. We really do. Because you want to know what? I have come to know God because I've come to know God's people. You reveal God to me. You know that? That's how you know God. If God is at work in me, He's at work at you. Right? And so if Christ is in me, He's in you. Right? And so how are we going to know? How do we know one another? We know the love of God as it's expressed through our lives, one to another, right? Isn't that true? Thank you for being God to Mel and I. Thank you for allowing God to reach through your lives and to bless us the way you have. And we appreciate it very much. But let's be a blessing. And Mel and I prayed the other day, as we've been blessed. We've been blessed to be a blessing. That's why we bless. God has blessed us. I know He's blessed you. Let's have a happy year together, a good year together. Let's grow together. Let's get to know God more intimately, personally in our lives. And let's stand and sing the song we started with, The Way of the Cross Leads Home. Let's sing it together.